Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. By the way, during the week, please join us on the Fox Business Network. The name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day. And if you can't make it at 4 for some crazy reason, well, just text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. Now, let's go to our guests. We're going to do some stock market work. Nancy Tengler, CEO and CIO of Laffer Tengler Investments. She's an author, USA Today columnist, and she's just downright really super smart. And Kenny Polcari, my old pal, managing partner at Case Capital and chief market strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. I'm just looking at this. See, the Dow Jones this week. What did I actually for the week it was up. It was up nicely. So I want to know, I'll start with you, Nancy Tengler. Banking crisis. Is it over? Is it calmer? I can't even talk about Janet Yellen. One day she wants to bail out everybody. The other day she doesn't. Then she comes back and she does. But, I mean, I'm just interested. What is your take on the so-called banking crisis?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I think that the market is starting to take things into its own hands. I think that the credibility of not just the Treasury Secretary, but also Chairman Powell in his press conference, I think investors are starting to, you know, I mean, the 2-year is telling you that they're going to have to cut. If the reason is recession, we probably agree with that. But I think for the most part, and I'd love to hear what Kenny has to say about this, I think for the most part, the bank crisis will be muted from here, that the large banks are in great shape. We're going to bail in everybody out anyway, so what the hell does it matter?
That's what Yellen finally said, by the way, on Thursday. She came back to it. She said, it's just so great. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all. I'm optimistic about other things. I'm worried about other things. This one, I think, they've taken all the risk off the table, participation trophies for everyone. And if you're a bank manager, you really don't have to be any good at what you do. You just have to show up for work every day.
I love that. Well, Kenny Polcari, I want to ask you the same thing. Well, the banks can do anything they want and the government's going to bail them out. Is the crisis over? But also, Nancy mentioned something very important, the 2-year note, 3.77. The Fed funds rate is going to move up to 5. But the 2-year note has fallen so much, and the 10-year note has fallen so much. So the curve is totally inverted. The short end is inverted. The long end is inverted. And I'm not sure I've seen anything quite like this, Ken Polcari. And I don't. What does it mean to you?
So listen, I got a couple of things. I think Nancy's spot on. I think the whole banking thing got really overblown, and they created hysteria in the whole system where there really wasn't any. I don't think specific banks. Yeah, we saw what happened, but that doesn't affect the whole sector. And to Nancy's point, I think the banking system in this country and really the global system is fine, right? Yes. So I think she came out and basically said we're backstopping everyone. She did, and then she didn't, and then she did again, hitting all the confusion. But I think that's at least temporary. I think they'll do that now until we get through this and it calms down. Then I think they'll revisit what those rules are and what the risk should be and all that stuff. But I do think for now they will. And I think the market is beginning to understand that. Look what happened on Friday. We were getting clocked Friday morning in the pre-market because the rumor about Deutsche Bank, Europe ended lower, but we started low, we rallied into the bell because I think people are investors and traders are realizing that that the system is fine. Now, to the point about the treasuries, did you see the news that Jimmy Bullitt from St. Louis told Bloomberg, I think on Friday, that he sees the terminal rate still going to 5.625%, which is up from where we are at 5%. And he was joined by Barkin and Atlanta's Rafi Bostic, all saying inflation remains the story. and that the banking crisis will solve itself, but inflation, the Fed should remain focused. So while the bond market is telling us one thing, you're hearing confusing and conflicting data out of, you know, these Fed heads that are all part of the FOMC committee.
Well, that's a really important point. It's a super important point, Nancy. It's like I had this conversation a little bit with John Carney earlier in the show. These Treasury rates plunging are telling a completely different story than Jay Powell or Jim Bullard or a lot of the Fed heads. Completely different. I mean, yeah. Plunging rates mean what?
Right.
Recession, lower inflation, you're going to slash rates. But what
right.
Powell's saying is the economy's still got strength, inflation is still a problem, and we're going to raise rates some more. I mean, basically, he signaled another quarter point. I think you would agree with that. So
yeah. That's
a big disconnect, and investors are kind of caught in this crossfire.
Yeah, no. I mean, Larry, he also said he thought there was still a path to soft landing, which I guess he sort of has to say. But I mean, I gave up listening. You know, I was listening to that segment, and I said the very same thing to you and on your show. I just wish he would stop talking because what he says from meeting to meeting is contradictory. And then there's no look back. Oh, I know I said that. There's no acknowledgement of all the myriad mistakes that this group has made and really led by him, starting with, the 2020 Jackson Hole meeting where they decided to become data dependent. How well did that work out? And, you know, we're not going to raise. We're not even thinking about it. We're not 75 basis points off the table. Then we get a 75 basis point hike. I mean, I think, listen, I can't speak for the market, but it looks to me like the bond market, which has pretty much led him all the way through this, by the way. Remember that the yields were rising long before he raised rates a year ago. And so I think the market is just the bond vigilantes are in charge and he's along for the ride. I think he kind of signaled that it may be one or maybe none going forward. It's hard to tell because it'll change tomorrow.
You know,
I think he signaled that potentially May they're going to pause. They're not going to do a rate hike, but that doesn't mean come June or July that they won't continue raising. And I think a lot's going to depend on this week's PCE, which is their favorite inflation gauge, and next month, April CPI and PPI.
I just, when I was in that game full time with Bear Stearns a long time ago, I used to think that these market rates led the Fed. And you had Fed chairs, you had Volcker and Greenspan, who I think looked at markets to inform them. And I would add to that, kids, like the CRB commodity index has been flat to down now for a year. The M2 money supply is falling, all right? Not just the growth rate, but actually the level is falling.
Mm-hmm.
The level of deposits are falling. Or to go to the economic numbers, the index of leading indicators is crashing. So it's like, and that seems to be what the bond market is saying, but the Fed is being stubborn. I mean, so what are they going to have? Nancy, they just have to surrender the Fed and just say, like, we were totally wrong or what?
Well, I think so. I think finally, yes. I mean, you know, he gave us the 2018 bear market, too. Let's not forget. And flip-flopped pretty quickly on that one. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. Leading economic indicators have been down 10 months in a row. The manufacturing PMIs have rolled over. Every metric, M2, as you mentioned, is negative. BAA spreads now are widening, and we've seen durable goods come down a couple months in a row. Mm-hmm. So I think what the data are telling us is that the economy is slowing, and it's slowing quickly. And, you know, I know that the Fed GDP now number is still at 3.2%. That may continue into the second quarter, but we have believed all along that we were going to see a slowing economy and a recession. We think this year it doesn't really matter. And so we've positioned our portfolios accordingly. But there's a real credibility problem, not just with the Fed, but across government. And I'll just say this very quickly. Today's Wall Street Journal editorial, we wrote a piece last August called Washington Hopium, where we talked about how fraudulent the CBO estimates were on the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. But all you have to do is go back to the student loan Act or the student loan bill, Department of Education came out at the time and said you were going to earn, they were going to earn $6 per $100 less. 25 years later, they lose an average of almost $9 per $100 lent. That's a hell of a delta, $114 billion, you know, profit expected to, but the reality is $197 billion in losses. So I don't believe anything any of these folks say, and that's what's made this market very challenging.
You know, that's a good point, though. So the IRA bill could be three times as expensive as they suggested. In round numbers, the estimate's $400 billion, and Goldman says $1.2 trillion. By the way, Goldman's not the only one. The Penn Wharton model looked at it. I don't remember what they got to, but it was much higher than the CBO. And then you have the student loan bailout, which I think the CBO is estimating $250 billion or something. But actually,
they call it a trillion.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Penn Wharton said $500 billion to a trillion. So, this is part of the craziness. I mean, Kenny, do you still trade commodities? You still do any of that stuff or derivatives?
No, I really don't, right? I mean, I commodities via, gold via through stocks, not the commodities.
Well, gold's had a big rally. What do you make of that gold and silver rally?
Actually, gold is going higher, right? I think gold and treasuries are the ultimate safety play, and you saw that last week. They took gold up $50 on Thursday when we had all that continued ongoing angst over Jenny Yellen, and that's when they sold. That's when they bought treasuries and yields plummeted, right? And so I think those are the two safety plays. I can continue to think that gold is going to perform well and go higher. I actually look for 2,100 at the end of the year, which we might actually get to pretty soon.
Now, you're saying it's a haven of safety. It's not an inflation indicator.
Well, listen, I think in this case, I think it's much more a safety trade. People, when all that confusion in the market, I think people go to where they feel they're going to get the most safety. And traditionally, gold is one of those asset classes that benefits from the fear factor, right? From the chaotic factor.
You ever buy the gold stuff, Nancy?
Yeah, we actually have a metals and miners strategy. We call it the clean energy infrastructure strategy, and it's hedged with oil.
Oh, so right.
There's the cynic in me, but we do. We own most all of the metals and the miners of those metals. So Kenny's right. I mean, we think gold. We think actually copper, silver, lithium, those are where some of that's really where our emphasis is.
Yeah, you were talking in that portfolio. Right. You were talking on the TV show about that. And, then comes this editorial and the whole report. Actually, somebody from the Hill staff sent me this. The tax credits are virtually unlimited. So all the so-called green energy commodity stuff is probably a terrific play. I mean, investors could put in $1 trillion or more. Well, what the heck? Uncle Sam is funding it.
Exactly. And then supply is limited.
Oh, I don't even know what that stuff is. Kenny Polcari, have you ever seen that stuff? You ever seen lithium? I don't know what it looks like. What does it look like?
No, I haven't. But to Nick's point, and I agree. Lithium is going to be one of those places that is going to be a huge beneficiary of what's coming down the pipe, right? While you have a lot of back and forth over energy and electric vehicles, the fact is they are coming. We know they're coming. We're still very much in the infant stages, and I think lithium is a place that's going to see a lot of action.
Ken Polcari, you own an electric car?
I do not own an electric car, and I'll tell you why. Because I know I live in a condo now. I don't have a garage, so I don't have any place to charge. I have to go around the corner to a parking lot and sit there for 2.5 hours to charge. I got no interest.
Nancy, you own an electric car?
I own an F-150, Larry, and I drive it with impunity.
But
Is
it the EV version or the gasoline version?
No, it's gas. Because when I go back and forth to Tahoe, it's a 14-hour drive. So, like Kenny, I'm not going to sit there.
I love that. I would love to see you in a Ford 150. That is so cool. That is so totally cool. I love that. I can just see you.
I have a picture on my phone of her driving the truck. I should send it to you.
I just love that.
The best part is watching me try to get in and out with my 5-inch heels on.
Well, it's like, I know, you got to, and it's like putting your feet in the stirrups of a horse. You just got to pull yourself up. No, but that's a wonderful mother of a truck. It's fast. I have a 5-6-year-old Lincoln Navigator, the long one. I keep it in Connecticut. It's gas powered. It works. Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I'm not buying an EV either. Anyway, we're going to have to take a break. This conversation is wandering. That's what we do here. Nancy Tengler, CEO and CIO of Laffer Tengler Investments, Kenny Polcari from Case Capital, and Slate Stone Wealth, two of the best of the best. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show. It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow with two experts on the economy and the stock market. Nancy Tengler, CEO and CIO of Laffer Tengler Investments. Kenny Polcari, Case Capital Advisors, and Slate Stone Wealth. Kenny, what are you doing? I mean, I got to give my listeners some sense of what the hell to go on here. What are you doing, buddy?
So listen, after all the chaos we've seen, I am really, really interested in the regionals, right? So Ken, you saw what's happened to a lot of these regional names. They've gotten absolutely slaughtered. A lot of them getting dragged in for no reason other than they're just getting dragged in, right? So Western Alliance, New York Community Bank. I mean, look what happened there. That sold off 35% since March 6th. And then after the news out that they were going to buy the assets of Silicon Valley, they took it right up 40%. Mm. It was a huge opportunity because of an overreaction, I think. Mm. The same goes for Western Alliance, is another name that I like to look at in that space, just because I think the chaos has created tremendous opportunity.
You want to invest or buy First Republic? You're putting a syndicate together to buy First Republic?
You know, it's funny. First Republic is now the poster child of everything that's wrong, right? So that one I'm just watching. Maybe at some point I would put a group together, but right now I'm just watching.
I could see you living out there. The Silicon Valley Bank, by the way, it was a rogue bank. It was never a real bank. A rogue bank, right? Hillary Clinton investors, climate change, left-wing, Alvin Bragg-type management, and the San Francisco Fed knew all about it, and they didn't do a damn thing. All right? That's my statement. I don't know that First Republic is that bad, but I think they have a lot of bad real estate. In fact, Nancy Tengler, is that an issue? So Ken Polcari is going to scoop up all the regional banks because they're cheap, and he may be right. He may be dead right. He's done this in the past. But I am worried not only the bond portfolio, but just for a moment, the loan portfolio of a lot of these banks. What about commercial real estate? Everybody keeps telling me it's going south. I don't know that, but that's what everybody keeps telling me, especially the two coasts, New York and California. What do you think?
I think it's a real risk. And so you have to geographically pick your spots. But 38% of loans at a median bank are commercial lending loans and real estate loans. And we know that, commercial real estate loans. And we know that, a lot of those properties are underwater. So, it's often the case that you want to take the big bets, as Kenny's arguing, during periods of stress. We've been underweight the banks. We own some, clearly our super regionals, PNC, and we may add to that, but we're not going to dip in. And I just think there's too many other places that I'd rather be in this environment. And
like
and
what?
So,
like what?
Well, so like the metals, and we just added some holdings. I think I mentioned this on your show, and in American Express and Chubb, and we've added to some. We've taken some gains on our technology holdings, which I've been talking about for 6 months. You have to add it back in. We did. They appreciated, and so we've sold Microsoft and Salesforce, and we're just redeploying very carefully into companies that we think can generate reliable earnings in this coming slowdown in economic growth.
I mean, what about what we used to call economic sensitive sectors and stocks, cyclical stocks, consumer discretionary, industrials, that kind of stuff? What's that stuff been doing, and is it worth anything?
Yeah, I mean, we're overweight. The industrials have been one of the best performers in the market. We're overweight that group. And then we've been adding to consumer discretionary as well. So names like Chipotle, McDonald's in our dividend growth portfolio, Target, Tesla was one of our holdings we picked up in early January. We took a nice run in that. That was luck. That'll never happen again. But we added to it a little bit recently on the pullback. So we like consumer discretionary.
Retail-related, consumer-related, I'm just looking at the stock sheets, have done pretty well. I mean, let me see. Mm-hmm. Consumer discretionary year to date plus 9.6%. S&P 500 retailers, not quite as good, but I think 3.4%. I'm looking at home builders. S&P 500 home builders up 14.3%. Wow. Kenny Pulcherry, what do you make of that? I thought housing was in the tank.
You know, that confuses me a little bit about the home builders, although as a group, they got clocked in 2022. So, you know, some of that is also a bargain hunting as people try to look through the next 4 or 5 months. But I'm still confused because I think rates are going to continue to go higher and then mortgage rates are going to stay higher. Although what you're hearing now from all new home builders is suddenly, I heard last week, people are getting, as you know, they're getting freebies, right? So they're getting upgrades in the kitchen. They're getting upgrades in the bathrooms. They're getting upgrades in the flooring. So they're giving away, and Lennar, I think, is one of them that's buying down your rate because they've got their own mortgage company. They're buying down the rate to give people a little bit of an edge, right? So they were talking about 4.9% mortgage rates after Lennar buys it down.
You know what the problem is, though? You buy a house because of Joe Biden. Because of Joe Biden, you can't have an air conditioner, a toilet bowl. You can't have a shower head. It's very difficult to buy a home without all these appliances. You can't have a washer and a dryer. Just kidding. You know what I'm talking about. Nancy Tengler and Ken Pulcherry, great stuff. Neither of them owns an electric vehicle, and neither do I. I'm Kudlow, folks. Money and Politics, next up with Monica Crowley and Steve Moore.